Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Podcast where I try to figure out, me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how and why I'm still single, even though I will eat soup out of your butt, and I hate soup. My guest today, you know him from Grace and Frankie, Corporate, Mystery Science Theater 3000, and the New Negroes, which is coming to Comedy Central, and they have a live show at UCB. It's Baron Vaughn! Do, 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 do.
Boop, oh, boop, hello. Boop. Hello, Nicole.
Scooter, bop, 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 do, do, boop, do, boop, boop, boop.
The irony is that all of that, I wrote it down and said, can you read this as my intro? And you nailed it.
And you were really insistent, and you kind of frightened me.
Yeah.
And I felt like you were bullying me, Baron.
But all I'm trying to do is teach you about Louis Armstrong. So it's like, and then all this scatting. Uh-huh. Do all that.
I got all the scatting right, all the bebop, ba-do, boop, da-doos. How was your Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving just happened.
It did just happen. Mine was pretty good. I went down to a little state called New Mexico.
Wow.
The state of my birth.
Oh.
And my little son, who is one.
Yes, yes, yes.
Met my father.
Oh, that's nice.
Who I met 2 years ago.
Yes, yes, yes.
So now he's got a grandson.
What a wild ride for your dad.
Yes.
To be like, I get a son, and now I get a grandson.
Exactly. It's kind of like we instantly are family. I mean, we've always been blood related, but knowing each other, totally different.
I feel like that's the name of a show, Instant Family, or maybe it's a movie.
Oh my goodness, you're right. It's some Mark Wahlberg movie poster.
Which, I mean, don't go see it. Mark Wahlberg is a piece of shit. He tried to murder a man.
Yes, he did.
He's bad. He's a bad news bear. We shouldn't let these bad news bears make money. Is your mom, is she still living?
Yes, my mom is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Did not get to see her this Thanksgiving, no.
Just a little drop by daddy?
Yeah, in New Mexico. And then Rhiannon, who is my partner, my lady.
Yes.
My lady.
As D'Angelo would say. I like that you say partner.
Yeah.
Are you married?
We're not married. We're engaged.
Ah.
We did it old-fashioned. Children first.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you gotta learn if you're gonna live well with a child.
Yes, exactly.
You know, instead of getting a dog, you got a kid.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm not allergic to kids.
There you go. I think I am.
Mm.
They're just too sticky.
Yeah, they can be.
They're so sticky.
But it's up to you how sticky they get.
Dipping them in stuff to get them unsticky.
The stick sauce, of course.
Yeah. So
wait a minute, what about your Thanksgiving?
Oh, thank you for asking. I spent my Thanksgiving here in lovely, sunny Los Angeles, California. I went to
correct pronunciation.
thank you. I'm trying things out. I spent it with a bunch of comedians
performing
at UCB.
Yeah.
We had a little Friendsgiving. Everybody made a dish. And then while we were eating, we were like, huh. Nobody fucked up. This is all pretty good. I made mac and cheese, which could have been a little cheesier. My bad.
Note for next time.
Yeah, note for next time. Maybe add like a dash more milk and a little bit more cheese, and I think it would be on point. And then I made Paula Deen's ooey gooey butter cake. I don't care that she's a racist because that cake is good.
Racists.
Call me what you want and fill my belly.
There's a lot of racists that are amazing cooks.
Uh-huh.
Most of the best barbecue I have ever had, I'm sure was made by someone who
made by
hates
racists.
That I'm eating it.
Which is wild because it's just like, but like, isn't food feeding a soul?
Yes.
Why do you have to hate to feed a soul?
I mean, there you go.
I mean, Paula Deen. Paula.
I love this little moment that you have with Paula Deen.
I love Paula Deen. She's like, just like this fat little marshmallow of a woman who's like, y'all, I'm going to make you something gooey and fattening, and you're going to pass away after you eat it. And then she's like,
you're going to pass away? You're going to pass away? Not even pass out.
You're going to pass away,
you're
honey.
You're going to pass
you're
away.
You're going to straight up die.
Death by chocolate, literally.
And I love that about her.
Okay, all right.
But she's so racist.
Yeah, I mean, who's not these days?
I mean, honestly, as time ticks on, it just seems that people are just getting bolder and bolder about mm-hmm. their racism.
Yeah.
I was in Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast yet, but we landed.
Who's we?
We the plane. We the people of the plane.
Okay.
We the people of Delta DL 642 to Charleston.
Wow. Good memory on the,
I
on
made
the flight
it
numbers.
Up.
Oh, yes, and did that flight number. Go ahead, though, Nicole.
We landed. And you know how everyone stands up because everyone's very important on a plane.
Of course.
No one can just like leave like a civilized person. So I was taking my luggage out of the overhead and it grazed this old man's ass. And he turned around and he said, are you trying to pickpocket me? And I was like, how is the racism beginning? We just landed.
Oh, goodness.
And nobody was like, sir, you can't do that. I was the only black person up there. And I was like, it was a nice reminder of no matter how much money I make, no matter where I sit on a plane, some old white man is going to be like, you black? You need to know you're black. You've never looked down and seen the black, so I'll tell you you're black.
Have you ever flown first class and then had like an old racist person
this
look at you?
This was in first class.
Oh, see?
That, this was in first class.
How can you? Ah!
I was like, sir, I'm literally sitting in front of you. Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm trying to pickpocket you.
Yeah, like what is
from this first class
what
seat?
What is happening? I don't need to pickpocket you, sir. I do all right. I don't know if you're doing
all
right.
Can you afford this ticket through nonstop pickpocketing?
Have you just been stealing plane to plane? Are you the Jack Dawson of Delta? Or maybe he didn't steal in Titanic, but I feel like he just like ended up on adventures.
Well, he's a ruffian. Jack Dawson is basically, you know, he's Aladdin.
He is Aladdin. Oh my God,
Riff
they
Raff,
white
street rat. I don't buy that.
James Cameron whitewashed Aladdin and he turned the carpet into a ship.
A ship that sunk everything.
Yes. Oh, thank God carpet and Aladdin, you know, acted a little bit better than Titanic. Carpet didn't do nothing wrong.
Wait, what? Carpet?
Carpet's his name in Aladdin. He doesn't have a name. His name is Carpet.
I thought you were nicknaming Leonardo DiCaprio. I thought you were saying
no,
like,
no, truly. Talking about carpet.
Carpet. Okay.
Carpet from Aladdin.
Not Leonardo DiCaprio, but the carpet. Got you.
Nope, just carpet from Aladdin.
No, carpet's pretty good.
It's wild that they didn't name carpet. Abu has a name. Raja the tiger has a name, but carpet is just carpet.
I mean, carpet can be carpet because there's probably not many living sentient carpets.
Well, you don't know. You didn't get to see the rest of Agrabah.
Oh, that's true.
I have a deep knowledge.
You are.
I'm like really pulling out.
On that Agrabah tip. You're the personal Agrabah wiki right here.
I guess so. Baron.
Yes.
So you are not single. You have a partner.
Yes.
I like that you don't say girlfriend or fiance. I think partner's a nice I think it's a grown-up way of saying what it is. You're in a partnership.
We're in a
right?
partnership. Yeah, exactly. We are in a partnership of a business or a company that we call our relationship.
Yes.
That has ups and downs depending on the market.
Yes.
Of unresolved childhood issues. Unresolved childhood issues are just like the stock market. No one really understands them, but everyone's always talking about them.
Honestly, do you do that joke on stage?
I don't.
It's pretty funny. I think that's a real nice nugget of an idea.
I'll write that down then.
Yeah, let that ruminate in your mind. Yes. Is that a word? Ruminate?
Yes.
Ruminate?
Ruminate. I think you're thinking about reverberate.
Reverberate.
Like echo.
You're smart.
I know a lot of words.
You do, because you went to a good school?
I went to theater school at that.
Where did you go to theater school?
Boston University.
And then, where were you just performing?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's right. We talked about it right before I left.
Yes.
I went to go do some Shakespeare.
Yeah. And then Shakespeare for me is very hard.
I have a lot of strong opinions about Shakespeare, which is, very, very strange for a straight black man to be like, I have Shakespeare opinions, not on the curriculum. Here we go. But I think that we're taught about it wrong. I think that we are taught Shakespeare badly, usually because we're taught Shakespeare in English class.
Yes.
So then it becomes all about the words and the scan and but all the storytelling, all the emotionality gets lost because Shakespeare actually was not meant to be read. It was only meant to be heard.
I fully agree with you because any production I've seen, I've understood without having to be like, wait, what, thy, they, who? But I understood the actions and what was happening. But reading it, you would read a page and you go, what? You'd reread it and go, it still doesn't do it for me.
Because it's a play and a play depends on the actors to interpret it and to make it make sense. So when you don't have that and it's all up to you sitting in your room with looking at the clock like it's 10 o'clock. I'm supposed to have this read by the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see. Thou, the, what the crap? What? How did it become 2 a.m.? And then it's just a stress ball over your head.
Have you ever seen She's the Man?
She's the Man. Yes, I have.
It is Twelfth Night.
It is Twelfth Night, yeah.
And it's a perfect movie.
Is that Rachel Lee Cook?
No, you better believe it's Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes.
And Channing Tatum.
Right.
Before he became Channing Tatum.
Right.
It's literally the perfect movie.
Yeah.
I've never tee-hee-heed or ha-ha-ha'd as much as I did watching that movie.
And then there was that one, 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Which is supposed to be Taming of the Shrew.
O is obviously Othello. I was so happy they did O. I was like, thank you. Let's get Mekhi Phifer some work. Let's have some black people. Where is Mekhi Phifer?
Exactly.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. He's
Where
hanging
do
out
our
with
black actors go?
Where do black actors go?
When they're
done with a movie called O.
Where?
He's probably just hanging out with his mom, Michelle.
His mom, Michelle?
Yeah, Michelle Phifer.
Oh, my word. What a treat. What a far reach.
Yes.
I loved it.
Those are my favorite kinds.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Did you ever do online dating?
No.
Wow.
I didn't. I missed online dating. I met people through MySpace or Friendster that I ended up dating.
What are you, 100 years old?
I am 100 years old. You cannot tell because black don't crack. Thank you. Thank you, Michael McDonald and Anita Baker on that one. The assist right there. I did not do it. Plus, I don't know. I don't look down on internet dating in any sort of way.
Okay. You can. It's awful.
Well, I think that it's like anything else. It works for some people and it doesn't work for other people. So anytime there's something that's a sensation that everyone's like, it's the way, I am automatically suspicious.
Oh, okay.
But like anything, like meeting people in a bar is also a fraught territory.
Yeah, but I will say meeting someone in a bar, you know right off the bat whether you want to speak to them more than 30 seconds or not.
Hmm.
On an app, you can get fooled with words because people aren't meant to be read. They're meant to be heard.
Oh. No, Matt, you're right. I was just calling it back straight.
No, your version is better. Good callback. But I was, I was like, on to something.
No, I know a lot of people who are married that met people online.
People,
you know,
keep telling me it happens.
Oh, yeah. And I keep hearing these studies about, like, you know, I hear in the culture, if you will, that people be lying online.
Mm-hmm.
But I also hear that a lot of people are very honest in their online profiles because they're there to actually meet someone.
Yeah.
Depending on, of course, the site. Some sites are about hooking up, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Some sites are about hooking up with more than three people at a time.
Oh, I've only heard of threesome sites.
Oh, no, no, no.
There's orgy sites?
Probably.
I think I'd get confused in an orgy.
Yeah, orgy.org.
orgy.org.org.
It's very confusing.
So confusing. Very
hard
to log
on. But if you can get the
on,
website, then you can handle all those parts simultaneously. That's the test.
I think during an orgy, I have ADD, I think I would just be like sucking a dick and then being like, well, I better munch on that puss. Or maybe I'll honk on them titties. Someone's booty needs something?
Did you ever play sports, Nicole?
Yes, but barely.
Do you think too much on the court or the field?
So I played soccer only for one game and I realized how much running there was. So I sat right down on the
then you definitely,
field line and said, this is more than I signed up for.
You definitely would think too much through an orgy then, definitely.
And then basketball, I could master defense. I was really good at boxing out or like boxing girls out and like not letting them get the ball because I have a very big butt. And yeah, that, and then like offense, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with these hands. So basketball was very hard for
okay.
me. And also, more running than I signed up for. Sports, nobody tells you.
Uh-huh.
Sports is mostly running.
Yeah, so you live more in your head, if you will.
I think I do.
Than you do in your body.
I think I am a heady person.
Then that definitely, orgies might not be for you.
I guess not, because I'm taking pole dancing classes right now.
Oh,
thank you. I didn't know that song was about stripping until maybe 2 years ago. And I sang it all the time as a little girl. And I was confused as to why she was taking credit cards. I was like, maybe she's collecting. I don't know.
Half of pop music is about stripping. People don't realize this.
Yeah, it's like stripping and sex and love. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I guess it is important.
Infatuation.
Yes.
No, not necessarily the same as love.
You are correct.
Which is an important thing.
It's hard to distinguish, I think.
Well, I think also, and this is my personal weird conspiracy theory, I think that we have turned, as a culture, the idea of love into a drug. And that we treat it as a drug because most of the people who we have heard or read define love for us are love addicts.
Oh,
I think we've
got
a lot of
shit.
Addicts define the sensation of love and conflate that with infatuation.
Interesting.
And lust and other ephemeral temporary emotions.
Ooh, good. Ephemeral.
Yes.
That's a good ass word.
You're welcome.
What does it mean?
It means fleeting. It means momentary. Quick.
What do you think the differences are between love, lust, and infatuation?
Well, infatuation, I think, is the that's the what's it called, the dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the endorphins. That's the new fresh feeling of like, oh my goodness, I like somebody, or I have these feelings. You're attracted to someone, and it's just this kind of chemical reaction, which is different than, and that's a feeling that's based on novelty a lot of the time, newness, freshness, and that's different than the feeling of sustained emotionality.
Okay.
That's why I think a lot of people get into relationships with someone that they feel all those chemical feelings for. And then after a while, when those chemical feelings wear off, it's like, oh, I don't actually like you. You leave your socks on the ground. you know, just all these habits, all these things that are, I call it column B.
Mm-hmm.
Column A is love. Do I like this person?
Yes.
And a lot of times we will substitute column A for column B. Column B is the practical shit. Do they have a job? Do they live with their mom? Do they have a car? Are they a responsible person? Are they mean? Are they, you know, all these things. So a lot of the times we will substitute column A because we think that's all we need. But sometimes that practical stuff, column B, is also very important. And so love, if you will, is the attempt to bridge the gap between column A in column B. I'm making it up as I go along.
I mean, it's all really making sense to me. And
thank
I was
the
about
Lord.
To be like, do you go to therapy?
Of course I go
How
to therapy.
How do we? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, it all, that makes a lot of sense. And I never thought of because I used to, or I mean, I've said it up until now. I'm like, I fall in love very quick.
Yes.
But I think it's I get infatuated very quickly at the idea that I might fall in love with somebody.
Yes. That's definitely a possibility. And then to have being with somebody, like I was in a long distance relationship mm-hmm. for a couple of years. This person lived in a different country.
Oh, dang.
And when we saw each other for 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And it would be months in between we saw each other again. If we found out, if we went past 10 days, oh, those cracks started to show.
Oh, no.
You know what? You're kind of annoying. Like, just kind of, you do some things that I don't care for,
mm-hmm.
which we figured out, like, you know, around the time that we broke up, like, you know, we wouldn't have worked if we lived in the same city and we saw each other every day.
Where did you meet?
In New York. Through Naomi Ekperigin, actually.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get her on the cast. Is that what people call it? On the pod?
On the pod, yeah. I like getting her on the cast better.
I want to get her on the cast. She's so funny.
Yes, I love
I hate
Naomi.
Following her at shows. She's so...
I hate following both of y'all.
There's... Thank you. There are some people I really, truly hate following.
Oh, yes.
They tucker audiences out.
Oh, yes, yes,
and
yes.
They might be listening and laughing at you, but it's not loud. And mm-hmm. they might be happy with what you're doing, but they're just like, well, that person before took everything I had.
Yeah, basically.
Ugh.
I understand that. That's also another thing that stand-up comedians have.
Mm-hmm.
We have that competitive thing.
Yes.
Since we didn't play sports.
Maybe, yeah.
We didn't compete in our bodies, so we compete with
in
other
our
people
brains.
In our heads.
And it's like, not a competition. You're fucking fine.
And I think that kind of mentality, if you will, that kind of training
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
spills over.
Into relationships.
Into relationships.
You want to win them all.
We like Pokemon. We gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
Exactly.
Gotta catch all damn dicks. I just read a Reddit post,
yes.
or thread, if you will, about how I talk about dicks too much.
Wait, I'm sorry. It was a Reddit thread dedicated to you
dedicated
talking about dicks?
To me. So the person who wrote it ended up deleting their original comment.
Hmm.
But then there's like a whole like conversation about how I am creepy and I talk too much about dicks. And if I was a dude, it wouldn't be allowed. And I was just like, maybe I should talk about dicks less. But then I was like, no, the whole reason I do it is because I used to work a comedy show before I started doing comedy, and it was always a bunch of dudes in the lineup talking about women and what they looked like in the most disparaging way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'll do that. I'll just shit on some dicks. Why not? Why can't a woman do it? And I never, ever saw a woman do that.
Hmm.
And then I watched like the Queens of Comedy, and I loved the way they talked about men. So... if you're listening, man, who wrote that Reddit post and then deleted it because you're a little coward, go fuck yourself. Like a whole conversation about it. And then they were like, do you know John Gabris?
Yes.
They were like, she asked to see Gabris' dick, and I wonder if he's traumatized. And I was like, what? He's one of my dear friends, and I absolutely knew he wouldn't show it to me.
That's interesting. I asked because I knew the answer was no.
Yeah, and it was specifically during this his High and Mighty podcast, and so I was like, let me see on deck, and then I went to the audience and was like, let me see on deck, and then Nick Weiger was like, I think the problem with you asking to see a dick is men don't want to be asked, they just want to show you. And I was like, why wasn't that little quote put in that little Reddit thread?
That's
because
very
that's
funny.
The real fucking problem, not me asking to see one consensually,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are being solicited unconsensually. Well, I mean, just needed to talk about that because it made me annoyed.
I mean, that's a really interesting point, you know, because that is a thing that men, we like to, or we're taught to impose ourselves, if you will,
mm-hmm.
take over a space. So when someone's like, would you like to enter? It's like, I only want to go in there if I'm forcing it. How dare you
men
allow it?
Men don't understand vampire rules.
That is true.
Men should become vampires. You need to be invited before you enter.
Isn't it, vampires are stories about consent, aren't they? You have to ask to enter.
Yes. And then they bite you.
Dracula's like, I want to suck your blood.
He says,
and then she's like, oh,
I want
okay,
to.
I guess.
And then you go, well, like, I don't, but then he just does it sometimes.
I told you.
I told you that
I said if I come in there,
to suck your blood.
I'm going to suck your blood. I don't even know what this accent is.
Baron.
Yeah.
We have to take a break.
Oh.
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do, do, do. Boo, 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 boo. What a fun break. I feel insane. I just got off a plane.
That's my favorite kind of insane. You're loopy. You're airplane loopy.
I slept for most of the flight, except I woke up when they were serving food.
Oh.
And I was like, I want food. And she's like, what do you want, honey? I got a broccoli cheesy thing with egg. And I was like, that sounds gross. And she's like, oh, I got some oatmeal. And I was like, that sounds dry. What good things do you have? She's like, a bagel. So then I had a bagel, which was nice.
How was it?
It was a pretty good bagel. They toasted it this time.
Hey.
Sometimes they don't toast it. And I'm like, Delta, the fuck? Why would you give someone a dry-ass, non-toasted bagel?
That is true. Why even offer it?
Right? You're like, offer me a fucking rock. Toast it so it's crunchy and nice.
Smell the smell of toast throughout the entire plane? Or do they contain it?
A little bit. Mm. So, okay, what happens is if you sit in Economy Plus, you get the wafts of the food smells from first class, and you go, I'm almost there. I could be up there. But when you're all the way in the back, you're just like, it smells like children and shit.
That is a fantastic metaphor for wealth discrepancy in the United States of America.
I'm almost
upper class, that's the upper
there.
Class, middle class, and lower class, right?
Yeah, man. It's wild in these streets. It's crazy that there's a class system in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And there is
we already shouldn't be up
there. In the ground, but like it's not verbalized. Like nobody's like, where are the first class people crossing the street?
Oh, that'd be funny. Star One, you can cross the street. Star Alliance, Global
Star
One.
Star Alliance, Global, you can now cross.
And now crossing Group 5.
And now the crossing has ended and Group 5 has to stay here for another round.
But that's my impersonation of that person.
But
I wanted. Okay. What were we talking about?
We were talking about. Girl, I don't know.
Was it about what is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Baby, don't hurt me.
What is love?
No more. So you dated someone who lived in a different country, and how many years was that?
It's like 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Right. We weren't monogamous though.
Oh, okay. That's helpful.
That is very helpful.
How did that ever create jealousy?
No.
Why?
Well, jealousy is a very complex emotion.
Okay.
Jealousy. I've read a lot about jealousy.
Okay.
So jealousy and envy get confused for each other. They're very different.
Oh, man. You're bringing me lots of words that I think are interchangeable. So
exactly.
What is the difference between jealousy and envy?
I'm glad you asked, Nicole.
Oh, humble Baron. Thank you.
So envy is wanting something that someone has, and you know what that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
George got a boat. Oh, man, I want a boat. Nicole went to Greece. Oh, I want to go to Greece. That's envy.
Mm-hmm.
People go like, you went to Greece? I'm so jealous. That's not what jealousy is. That's usually envy.
Uh-huh.
Jealousy is the feeling that something you believe is yours is going to be taken from you.
Oh.
That is jealousy. The fear of losing something you believe is yours.
Okay.
Now, I say something and you believe is yours because this is a feeling that happens a lot in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't want their partner to be poached, if you will. So that jealousy stuff kicks in. And the difference between jealousy and envy is that with envy, you know what the thing is. It's a boat. It's a trip to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
With jealousy, you don't actually have to have any idea of who it is you are jealous of.
Oh.
You could be dating someone who has a coworker, for instance, that you've literally never seen.
Mm-hmm.
But you might go, you know, they talk about that worker too much. They talk about that person a lot. Do they like that person?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going over to, you know, like just kind of that's what jealousy does is it sort of is almost like a miniature insane feeling, a miniature insanity that your certainty, your fear, if you will, it's a fear-based emotion. Your fear consumes you as to believing that something is going to be taken from you or someone is going to be taken from you. And so you don't want that to happen. But it's with very little regard to how the other person feels about it. Jealousy makes your partner an object. That's my feeling.
It sounds correct. You speak with such authority that I am eating this up.
I'm theorizing, but I've also read a lot about it.
I do believe.
So I'm like psychologists and crap. I'm quoting them. I'm just not saying who.
Fair.
you don't want to give some credit? No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I guess if you're scared someone's going to take your thing away, mm-hmm. that does mean that you're putting ownership and making your partner a thing.
And here's the other step to it. So there's an article that I am basing some of this on. It was called Jealousy, Love's Destroyer. Mm-hmm. This is a Psychology Today article from like 2011 or something. So this psychologist, I think a French woman, said that jealousy is in fact an identity crisis.
Oh.
Because you believe that you are you and this person being your person is part of what makes you you. Mm-hmm. So if that person is taken from you, then who are you?
Oh, wow. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
You weren't ready for this.
No.
You're like, I just got off a plane.
I got off a plane. I feel crazy. I've only had a bagel. I like that because that means in order for you to enter a relationship, you have to be a whole person.
Yes.
So you're not looking for someone to complete you. So when and if inevitably they leave you, because everybody will leave someone at some point.
Yes.
You have to still remain a whole person.
Now, when I was in high school, this is kind of when I started thinking about this crap.
Mm-hmm.
And my first girlfriend was like dumping me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mad and upset and all these things. But I also watched television and movies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people get killed on Law and Order? Jealousy.
Yes.
Why do people drive from Texas to Florida in an adult diaper to kidnap somebody? Jealousy.
Uh-huh.
They say that jealousy is the number one cause of murder in the world. So when we're watching Law and Order, which mm-hmm. is middle-of-the-line television, someone's gotten murdered. They have to convince us, the audience, of a reason that someone had gotten murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And we always believe three things. Money, mm-hmm. power, and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things. I'm like, wow, people kill each other? How can you love someone and then be like, I don't like what you did? Stab. Why would you murder someone
it
you love?
Is... And I guess jealousy is so powerful.
It's a very, very powerful feeling.
That it distorts your brain
mm-hmm.
into thinking, well, this person was taken away from me. I don't want anyone else to have them, so I'll kill them.
Basically. That's basically right.
Which is an insane
And that's identity crisis.
Thing. Yes, absolutely.
Right?
I can't imagine killing someone.
So I always like, well, I don't want to kill anyone. What is the point of jealousy outside of the fact that it drives me crazy? The other person doesn't even know I mm-hmm. feel this feeling. It actually has no bearing over what they will or won't do. And it's actually none of my business what they will or won't mm-hmm. do. Because if they want to break up with me, it's over. There's nothing I can do or say
mm-hmm.
to make them stay in a place they don't want to be. So why strangle them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I got to... like being like, well, then what is the point of monogamy as well?
I mean, are you in a monogamous relationship now?
I am, yes.
What's the point of monogamy? I mean, I'm in one now. That's
well, here's the thing yes. about monogamy. It's something that you agree to.
Yes.
Right? Just like anything. So to automatically assume that the other person shares the exact same values mm-hmm. as you without a discussion about it is kind of like you're setting yourself up. Because people have very different ideas of what they want mm-hmm. out of a relationship. But once you get into a relationship, you and the person you're in a relationship with have to agree on what the hell that relationship is going to look like and feel like. You can't just put a bunch of assumed universals on some shit and then think it's going to go your way.
When did you have your talk about monogamy with your current partner?
A couple years ago.
Were you non-monogamous before you became monogamous?
Yes.
Ah. Were you in the same state?
Yes. I've been in a handful of quote-unquote non-monogamous relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and like anything, some were great, some were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It really depended on how much work I was doing on myself.
Yes.
And if I could be clear about what I wanted, and when I wasn't, uh-huh. it would go to shizzle-dizzles.
I've never been in a monogamous relationship,
mm-hmm.
but I've never been in a... like non-monogamous where we were like, we're both okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in like where I've said, I would like to just be fucking you. And he was like, cool. And then that didn't happen. And I was like, well, that's on me. I should leave this, but I didn't. And then now I keep toying with the idea. I actually don't know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, like, sometimes like my thoughts will wander and I'm like, he's probably like fucking somebody else and maybe he doesn't like me as much. And I think I'm not secure with like I'm enough for someone and they also might want to just fuck somebody else but also come back to me.
Yes, that's
exactly.
I think
I'm scared that somebody's going to fuck somebody and then go, oh, that puss is better. I'm going to stay with that one. This one's dumpster puss. I don't want it.
Well, I mean, that's a matter of chemistry, right?
Yeah.
Someone said to me, there's no such thing as good pussy or bad pussy. There's just chemistry.
Yeah.
So it's like any person, you know, so if someone has better chemistry with somebody else, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a better psychological or emotional connection with somebody else. You see what I'm saying?
What?
All these things aren't mutually exclusive.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying. That's where, I mean, look, I think that I don't think that non-monogamy, if you will, or polyamory is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on who's doing it.
Yes.
Same with monogamy.
Yes.
It's just that everyone is doing monogamy.
Yes.
And if you try to cram all those people into one door, some people are going to get hurt.
Uh-huh.
It's a stampede.
That is a stampede, and that's how Mufasa passed away.
Hey. Spoilers. There's a whole generation that does not know this movie.
I mean, which is wild. Everyone should just watch the cartoon. I can't believe they're doing a live action one. I don't think I'm here for it.
Also, is it live action?
It's not. It's a cartoon.
When you have animated the face of a lion.
It's still a cartoon, right? They didn't use real lions.
No, they didn't.
They should have.
I mean, they probably did use real lions. I actually don't know enough about it, but they definitely digitized faces.
To me, it does not look like they're real lions. I want to see like a National Geographic, just like them wandering around with voiceover the action. That's what a live action Lion King should be.
As long as it's the
You're
honey
like,
badger
this
guy.
This is nonsense, but James Earl Jones is speaking, so cool. I toy with the fact that I'm like, but also I think what I'm doing is planning too far ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a kind of a moment-to-moment thing. And it also depends on where you are in your life.
Yeah.
So now I actually want to be in a monogamous relationship. That's why it's not a big deal for me. I'm not like, oh, I gotta be, you know. So it's like, and sometimes I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the person I'm with, this is what we have agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I have reaped endless benefits, if you will, from agreeing to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to stay this way.
Mm. I think in my little planning brain,
yes,
I'm like, okay, I'd like to be in a monogamous relationship, but I am away a lot. So if I do get into a relationship, when I'm gone, you can have sex with whoever you want. And then I think I'm like, oh, I think I'm trying to overcompensate for being gone so much.
Well, but you know, Nicole, what you just said is actually a legitimate thing. Because if you were with someone and you say that to them, you know what they're going to say?
What?
Exactly. You don't know what they're going to say.
Oh, wow. But you have that.
You have to say what you want.
Yes.
And you have to say what you need. And then it's a freaking negotiation.
It's just so scary telling somebody
what
you want.
Damn right it's scary. It's the scariest thing, Nicole.
Relationships are so terrifying and movies don't tell you that.
No, because they're over in 2 hours.
Falling in love is so wonderful. And then you're sad when you break up. And then it's like, but what about all the parts where you're sitting in your house being like, should I text him? I don't want to. My therapist told me not to.
I mean, and that's the thing about a lot of movies, especially rom-coms, are about the beginnings of relationships.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily about how to sustain a relationship.
No.
It's kind of how to find the one relationship you believe you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I actually used to live in a building where my roommate, this was in Queens back in New York, basically it was almost like a romantic comedy situation.
Mm-hmm.
There was a girl downstairs who he thought was the most beautiful woman in the world. And he was like obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, did you see her today? Oh, she's so hot. I'm like, all right, I just calm everything down.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually one day I came home and they were like kissing on the couch. I'm like, whoa, this is a rom-com that happened. And then it went south.
Uh-huh.
And then for the rest of the year, he was like, what? She's a bitch. And I'm like, this is the sequel to the rom-com. Never date someone that lives
in your building.
Yeah. Because then it blew up.
Uh-huh.
He hated her.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hear him be obsessed and in love with her for a year.
Ooh.
Date her for 3 months.
Ooh, baby.
And then for another year be like, I hate her.
That sucks for your ears.
And I'm like, well, this is why you don't do this. Great in a movie.
I dated a dude who lived across the street from me, which was very convenient for dick appointments.
Hey.
Very convenient.
The DAs.
Because, you know, you get a text. I say I'd be ready in 30 minutes. And then I hop my happy ass across the street. Oh, it was perfect. And then I leave right after I come. It was the best situation. Once I got really, really drunk at a bar, then we were walking. He was walking me home. And he was like, do you want to come over? And I was like, sure. And then he was like, Nicole, you were too drunk to do anything. You basically just rolled around in my bed screaming. I was like,
wow,
I'm a keeper. So then he was like, I said to you, let's just go to bed. And you said, okay. And then he said something to me and I woke up and I was like, I have to go. They're here. And he was like, who is here? And I was like, I gotta go. So I fled his house.
Yeah, okay.
With no shoes on.
Yes. All right.
With, I think, a vest on and just my bra, no shirt, and my leggings. Mm-hmm. And he could have tried harder to get me to come back inside because he said all he did was go lean out the window and go, hey, Nicole, your shoes. And then I didn't have my bag or my keys because I left it all in his house because I was trying to escape somebody.
Hmm.
And I went to my front door and
they're
was like,
here.
I don't have my purse. They took my purse. I don't, still don't know who they are. So then I was like, okay, let me figure out how to get in the back of my building. So there was like a waist level, like concrete, cement, fencey thing. So I barrel rolled over that. Get to the back of my apartment building, and I was on the ground floor, so I climbed through, like, our fire escapey gate thing, and then I was like, I still don't have keys to get in, so then I started banging on the side, like, sliding glass door with a shovel, and then my roommate at the time, Tom, woke up, and he was like, what are you doing? Oh, and at that point, my wig had fallen off. He was like, so you're, like, bald-headed and naked banging on our back door.
Wow, yeah.
What is happening? And I was like, hey, man, we all make mistakes. And then he let me in, and then I woke up the next morning, and I was like, I'm really sorry. He was like, I mean, it's fine. And then the boy had to email me because I didn't have my phone or anything. It was like, all of your things are here. Every single thing you've ever owned. And then
your high school,
like,
diploma. I don't know why.
Your high school diploma.
Your baby
your
shoes.
Birth certificate. Your teeth that your mother saved. which is so weird that my mom saved my teeth. Anywho, so I was like crossing the street to go back to his house, and my friend was at her boyfriend's house who lived down the street, and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, do I not look okay? She's like, you look terrible. And I was like, I need to go get my stuff. She was like, I'll walk you across the street. And then he wasn't expecting her because he opened the door naked, and I was like, oh no, this is bad.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, thank you for telling me the story that is the answer to the question of the title of this podcast. I was wondering if I would hear it.
Yeah, and that might be why I'm single. I lost my mind early in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I drank so much. I think it's because I was just dealing with the death of me parents. Mm. And I think my way of dealing with it was to rebel against any good thing they taught me.
Hmm.
Like, be a normal human being. Like, I have a tattoo on my leg that says, do the right thing, because my dad would constantly say it to me because I was a little bit of a troublemaker. And then when I got, like, I think it was, like, 25, 26, I got a tattoo to my leg so I could look at it a lot. So just so, like, when I lost my mind, sometimes I would just look at it and be like, do the right thing. You're not doing the right thing. You need to clean up a little bit. But now I think I've cleaned up a bit.
Okay. So you would proclaim yourself wild in your 20s.
Yes.
And you're saying you're dealing with the death of your parents.
Yeah.
Therefore, I would assume that there's a little bit of needing to numb.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to feel things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get into therapy until 2 years ago, like consistent therapy. I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any insurance.
That's the worst thing about therapy.
Yeah, but you have to pay
people
to get
who can't afford
help.
Therapy need therapy.
Help. Yeah. And then also coming from, you know, a black family,
yeah,
therapy's pretty much looked down upon.
Yes,
like anytime
yes.
I said I wanted to get in therapy, they'd be like, why?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't
pray.
Know. Yeah.
That's what I
pray.
Got.
And it's like, well, praying you're alone and you're speaking out alone. And then if you have bad thoughts in your brain, you're alone with those bad thoughts. And yeah, like praying, I do pray sometimes. A lot of times it's because I want something. But,
who's that, Saint Michael or somebody?
I don't
know. The patron
know.
Saint of lost shit, Saint Anthony?
I don't know.
All right, somebody who's Catholic, email Nicole.
Email me at baconconsave@gmail.com and let me know who the saint is of finding shit. But yeah, getting into therapy was like super helpful
of
because I never thought I had daddy issues until we talked about things and I was like, oh, I fully have daddy issues.
Mm.
I'm constantly trying to please men because I spent years trying to please my dad and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, am I pleasing him now?
Probably. Locked in a cycle.
Yeah.
If you're a Sisyphean loop.
Oh, that's a good one too. Nicole. Sisyphean?
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's she? Who's Sisyphean?
Sisyphus, the old Greek myth about somebody whose doomed afterlife was to push a rock.
Oh, no.
Up a hill.
Oh, no.
And every time they almost got to the top of the hill,
it would roll back down.
It would roll back down. It had to start all over.
Ugh.
And that's eternity for this person.
And he knows he has to do that, or is he choosing?
I forget the details.
Because I would say, you know what? I live on this rock at the bottom. you could come to my dinner party on the rock. We staying at the bottom of the hill.
That's right. Just call
me
Hard Place.
We started from the bottom, and we staying here.
But I think that, you know, like you seem like you already have a lot of like ideas of things that you might be repeating or stuck on.
Yeah.
That get in your way.
Yeah. And I'm trying very hard to like get all that out of the way. But it's hard. It's
well, yeah. And it takes as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing I have to remind myself. Like, why aren't I fixed? Like, why aren't I good yet?
And my therapist is always like, it's not about fixing you.
Yep.
It's about accepting who you are and making maybe a better choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you don't make that better choice, understanding why you made a choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mary is a wonderful person. People keep asking her to be on my podcast. I'm like, I think it's unethical. I don't think she can be on a podcast.
That kind of stuff.
I probably shouldn't say her name.
Well, you didn't say a last name.
Sure didn't, and I won't because she's mines. And I would be jealous if she was like, I have too many clients. I can't see you anymore. Because she just got Venmo. And I was like, Mary. Wow. I don't have to write you checks. No,
took
Mary.
You forever to get a therapist. Then a therapist that takes Venmo. That's a double.
It's great.
That's a double day. Yeah.
I love it. She's my friend on Venmo.
Oh, my goodness. Are your payments public or private?
Private. All
You've
my
got
payments
to do them
are private
payments.
Well, what happened was it was just my name. And then I guess high school kids or college, like kids started requesting like dollars from me. And I was like, I don't stop.
Oh,
please don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Wow, that's a weird price of celebrity right there.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not a celebrity. I'm mildly successful.
No, we're both mildly successful.
Yes.
But you also are you're out there, if you will.
Yeah.
You're on the internet. You got a great podcast.
Thank you.
So it makes sense that you would have people listening to podcasts, watching the Twitters, watching the Instas, watching the Snaps, being like, well, I could just ask that woman for money.
We don't snap anymore, Baron. Snapchat's over. Actually, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
watching
snap.
The Periscopes.
Do you snap?
No. I signed up for it for a little bit and then I got rid of it.
It was too much. I was like, I'm done with these filters. I matched with this guy who off the bat knew who I was and said it like three lines in. He was just like, is it weird that I know who you are? And I was like, no, it's not weird. The only weird thing is people have like expectation. He's like,
yes.
So our date's not going to be like an episode of Nailed It? And I was like, I know you were trying to be funny, but
I'm scared of what he was expecting.
You're not the first person
to make you
to like say that.
Yeah,
and
here's
people,
the sex. You're like, ooh,
yeah. I'm
it's
like,
messed
oh,
up.
Great. It's not like that picture. I don't know what people expect me to say when they make Nailed It. People love just screaming Nailed It at me too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always have to wonder. I'm like, would you have swiped yes on me if you didn't know who I was?
Oh, Nicole. See, now this is the minor celebrity thing.
Yeah.
Because I have similar issues, I guess, sometimes. I can't tell who is it that is just trying to be my friend for real or thinks that I am a doorway to something. yes. else. Or just some access to something else.
Yes.
So that's a hard thing to kind of be, have to be, I guess, eternally suspicious to some people. And
yeah,
be like, hmm.
I feel like it's making me a little crazy.
Probably. You already got trust issues.
I do. I feel like everybody in my life is going to leave me at some point.
Ooh, Nicole.
And they will.
Where's your inner child? I need to give this child a hug.
Well, my child. Goodness. Was dealing with the death of her mother at 16.
Oof, yeah, that's
and then
it's powerful.
Father who was not distant. I feel like most men kind of remove themselves from a girl's teenage years, if you will.
Yeah,
and then they just become this like overprotective person who's like a parody of a man. And then they're like not in that. Like I remember one time I was like, I need tampons. I'm bleeding all over the couch. And my dad was like, we gotta get her tampons. And my sister was like, well, go get them. And he's like, I can't get them. I was like, but you could. So it was just like very.
Well,
just...
we're not taught, and it doesn't seem like this culture has been interested mm-hmm. in teaching men to express ourselves
yeah.
in any other way besides like some sort of like toughness
uh-huh.
or machismo.
Ooh.
We are constantly, all of our faculties are engaged in doing the performance of manliness,
mm-hmm.
the performance of masculinity, that there's no room
yeah.
for any other information or ways to deal with things.
Yeah. I remember I would be like, I love you, Daddy. And he'd go, okay.
Oh, man. Literally, man.
Uh-huh. That's a man right there. Although, I knew when I, like, made him laugh, like, there was some love there.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do was...
That's probably why you're a comedian.
Hey, maybe.
No, that's exactly why you're a comedian.
Because the way I found affection from my family was through laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, my grandmother, anytime I made her laugh, she would go, oh, you tickle me. And she also never said I love you. So I was like,
woo!
So when you...
Now, where's your family from again?
Chicago.
Okay, Midwesterners.
From Barbados.
Ooh, okay, island to Midwest.
They be from the island. And they don't talk like that.
Thank you for giving us an example of what's not happening.
Yes, theirs is... Let's see, what does my granny sound like? Oh, Nicole. You tickle me.
Oh, she has a little accent.
A slight accent. Mm. Very, very slight.
What, Barbados, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Rihanna or Rihanna, since we say it wrong, light.
Yes, I get that. Okay, interesting. So then, I have a similar-ish kind of thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of sometimes a black thing, I guess you could say, where mm-hmm. it's sort of like, you know, we're already talking about how therapy wasn't an option, mm-hmm. if you will. It took me a long time to get over whatever racial baggage I had about therapy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just say, like, what, the thing for white people?
Yeah.
But I'm like, not white.
But white people's getting help. We could get help, too.
Exactly. So everybody who's been through some sort of trauma needs therapy. And mm-hmm. it wasn't until actually an old Richard Pryor joke where he actually said something about, like, we black people need therapy
uh-huh.
after all the shit we've been through. And I was like, what? Richard Pryor said it. I guess I could go now.
I mean, it is wild that it takes sometimes just like a person who's a public figure who you look up to be like, I got help and so can you.
Basically. Because you need to see, that's where representation is, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see someone that looks like you doing it, you're
yes,
like, oh, you're it's
like,
not
oh,
weird
I
if I do it.
I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started taking ADD medication. I told my uncle and he was like, you don't need that. And I was like, oh, well, it's been exponentially helpful to my life and my career. It makes stand-up easier because before I... couldn't do my set without having my list next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's a crutch. But it wasn't a crutch. I would get lost 30 minutes in.
Oh, interesting.
And I'd be like, I don't know if I did this already.
Hmm.
So I would spend shows sometimes going, did I say this? And I'd be like, no. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So it just seemed like I was loopy or unprepared. So then I started taking my medicine and was like, oh, I know I've done this act 100 times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know what's happening. I know, okay, I haven't done the Lane Bryant joke. Okay, so let's do that here. Okay, you didn't do your kids. Oh, we didn't put it, it makes sense here. I can think on my feet
mm-hmm.
way more. And I didn't need it for acting specifically because I was acting is responding. Mm-hmm. It's listening in response.
Being in the moment.
It's being in the moment. So it's hard to get lost in a 4-page scene that you're shooting where you're responding to your scene partner, because if it's written well, the response makes sense.
Yes.
So it was very confusing. And when I started taking it, I was like, maybe I won't take it for shows. Cause like, I want to be like wild Nicole, you know, like on, like in the moment. But then I was like, oh no, I am still in the moment. It just really helps me focus. Mm. And I try to talk about taking medication more because I feel like people are like, it changes who you are. And I was like, no, it doesn't. It honestly just focuses me just a little bit more.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think everything changes who you are.
Okay.
You could take no medication, you know, be in a car accident, and that's going to change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You could take no medication and get slapped by someone you loved when you were a child, and that's going to change who mm-hmm. you are. So it's everything is, if we're pinballs, mm-hmm. you know, so everything's going to change our direction.
Were you spanked as a child?
Oh, yeah.
I just
by old black
thing.
Southern Baptists.
Yeah, I was
who made me go
too.
Get a switch off the damn tree.
Oh, I got beat by rulers. I never got time to choose. Oh. My mother was always so angry with me.
I'm older than you, so they got me. They said get a switch. Do you know what a switch is,
a
Nicole?
A switch is a little thing.
It is a branch from a tree,
yeah.
And you have to be strategic. And again, Richard Pryor has a beautiful joke about this.
You can't pick the small one because they'll be like, nuh-uh, go mm-hmm. get a different one.
Yes,
but you
exactly.
can't get the big one
because
you're
it's
like,
going
to hurt. So you got to find like that middle one.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Like, that's acceptable. I read this tweet that this woman was like, spanking your kids and then hugging them and saying you love them after is an abusive behavior.
Mm.
And I was like, holy shit, it is. Because that's like, if you're in an abusive relationship, your partner will hit you or whatever and then be like, I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah.
And then it happens over and over again. And then my therapist was like, why do you think black people spank their kids? Because I do think it is more prevalent in black culture to mm-hmm. spank. And I was like, I don't know. She was like, slavery. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Intergenerational
yes.
trauma.
And that's how we saw our people being held in line. And we just transferred that to our kids. It's.
Did you ever get
we
a chance
so
to read Between the World and Me, that Ta-Nehisi Coates book?
No.
This is exactly what the whole book is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a man from Baltimore who was taught this hardness, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And now as an adult with his own child, he doesn't want to pass that hardness to his child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like an analysis of why he has this hardness through the history of his own parents and himself. And just the times in his life where he has been shown true love
mm-hmm.
and compassion. And those are the examples that he's trying to integrate into his life to pass on to his son mm-hmm. of how to be and how to treat people.
Man, being a good person is so much fucking work.
Well, because this world doesn't want us to be.
It really doesn't, and it's kind of wild. I feel like every day there's something new and crazy happening, and it's like, what?
Why and that's the culture we're in. We're in a culture of fear.
Yeah.
And anger,
yeah.
regardless of if it's justified or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're sitting in this juice, and it's a nasty
it's
juice.
A stanky juice.
Stank juice, which my favorite Bootsy Collins song. That's my favorite Bootsy Collins. Stank juice. Not a Bootsy Collins fan. Gotcha.
No, I don't know who Bootsy Collins is.
Right.
But Baron, we've come to the end.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting to ask my guests.
Yeah.
But Baron.
What?
Would you date me? Why won't you date me?
I won't date you because I am not single.
Ah, good answer.
But if I was single, that's a different question.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you were single, would you date me?
I'm not going to answer that. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And I respect that answer. Baron, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, goodness. No. Just look me up somewhere.
Okay, Baron
I'm
has
out
a show
there.
Called New Negroes with Open Mic.
Yes, New
open,
Negroes.
We Open Eagle Mike.
Open Mic Eagle.
Fuck me.
That's fine.
Open Eagle
Open Mic Eagle, and I have a show. Open Mic Eagle.
Open Mic Eagle.
And we just had Nicole Byer on the show at Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas.
I just call him Mike.
That's fine. But he's Open Mic Eagle if you want to Google him.
Yes.
Has a new album out
Their
as well.
Their show is great.
Yes, and it's we are moving
fun.
To the Virgil.
You are
starting in January, so we're the
fourth
Sunday of every month at the Virgil.
New Negroes. It will also be on
Comedy Central. Yes.
Do you have an air date yet?
No. I some point in 2019. Stay
okay.
tuned.
That's the next year. We only have 1 month left of this one.
Yeah.
and then a new one's going to happen.
Yep.
And that's when the new Negroes are going to happen.
That's right.
Barron's on Twitter. He's mm-hmm. on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yes. The Gauntlet is on Netflix right now.
And he's honestly one of the funniest people. You should follow him along. Also, if you write something nasty to me like on iTunes, or you can slide into my little DMs, I will read the nasty little things that you send to me.
Nasty how?
Like if you review my podcast and you say something dirty. Ooh. Like you hit on me in a dirty way.
Damn.
Okay, this man.
Can I give you some background music while you read
yeah,
this?
Yeah. I like that big butt on you. You're a gift and a treasure. I'll fill you up with pre-cum and Oreos and eat you out like a trough of cookies and cream slop anytime. Is this how people be nasty? So if you...
That's insane.
Right?
I will... Did he say I will fill you up with pre-cum?
Oh, yeah. And
how can
then
you do that?
Oreos. I don't know. I guess you're
pre-cum
just
pre-cum
like,
is the thing before the cum.
Yeah, I guess
it's not
maybe
a lot.
You're edging? So you're just like milking and edging
no,
and
I have
milking
kept...
and edging and milking and edging.
Welcome back to Milking and Edging. I'm edging.
Thank you for joining my podcast, Barron. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.